Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
With us now, New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, who's been on Staten Island this morning. Speaker, thanks for giving us a few minutes on a busy day.
No problem at all. Thank you for helping us get information out about tomorrow's election day.
Where did you go and what did you see?
This morning, first I started on the Lower East Side and I went to a public school there. I really wanted to go out and thank the teachers and the principals, the custodians, the parents who worked so hard to get schools open. I went to first a school on the Lower East Side, now a school in Staten Island. I'm headed to a school in Brooklyn now. After that, I'm going to meet up with Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and we're going to do touring some more out in the Coney Island area. But, you know, Brian, I just want to say the two schools I was at this morning, extraordinary. The first school on Houston, the Lower East Side, the school community organized itself, had hot scrambled eggs and rolls and fruit for all of the children that came this morning. I met the custodian at PS 188 this morning, Bill. Bill stayed in the school building from Sunday to Wednesday, taping, caulking, sandbagging to protect his school. Can you imagine that?
Fabulous.
And then I just left Newdorp High School. The principal there, Deirdre, her house, very, very damaged. Really significantly damaged in the storm. She knew she had to clean her house out quickly so she could then focus on her students. So she got folks from the football staff. They worked around the clock for 36 hours or so, cleaned out her house. She's been at her school since. Her school is up and running. It will take in a middle school on Wednesday. But more than that, her school is right next to one of the city and National Guard distribution sites on Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
So she set up a system where her staff and students would go walk blocks, make a list specifically by home of what somebody needed, go to the distribution site, go to the donation she got, then go back to that block so Mrs. Smith got what she needed if they had it. All of this done through the great work of our Department of Education staff, obviously with others helping them, but it's just, you know, it's just really remarkable. And so, it was so great to see at the school on the Lower East Side, and kids sometimes, you know, they don't want to go to school. So it was a little boy so excited to go back into school, he forgot to open the fence and he ran right into it.
Oops.
He was just like so thrilled.
I knew there was a kid somewhere who was excited to go back to school, and
you know what? These kids all seem to be excited, even the high school kids, because, you know, one of the things that's been disrupted in this storm, obviously, is people's home, their personal community. At least if you're back in a school building, you are back in another community that is yours. And that matters. And I want to just thank everybody. I know there'll be glitches today. I know it won't be perfect, but people worked incredibly hard, and they deserve a lot of thanks.
So, Speaker, you told some stories of individuals undertaking heroic or at least above and beyond the call
Absolutely.
Of duty efforts. What about the city and FEMA and the Red Cross? We took calls last hour specifically for people from Staten Island or the Rockaways, and we heard story after story of people who felt that it was all about the individual efforts, people coming to help on their own, because they feel like FEMA doesn't have a presence, the Red Cross doesn't have a presence, the city has less of a presence than they would have expected in some of the hardest hit areas. What's your assessment of that?
Well, you know, I can't really speak to the Red Cross because for whatever reason, that's not an entity I've particularly interacted with or seen a great deal of during this storm. So I'm just going to set them aside for now if I can. You know, look, it's heartbreaking in a very profound way to hear that there are New Yorkers out there who have not yet gotten what they needed. And in some cases, most people probably have not gotten everything they needed, but haven't even gotten anything that makes them feel like they were connected to. That's, you know, incredibly, incredibly upsetting for somebody who, like myself, who's a part of the government of the city of New York. The FEMA resources that are coming in are growing every day as it becomes clearer that this is going to be a very long process to get us back to any place near normal. What I can tell folks is that the work is going on. That doesn't make you feel any better if you don't have what you need. But the work is going on. There is daily food distribution going out into every borough with water, blankets, meals ready to eat. That's been expanded to batteries and hygiene products. We're trying to get other donations and gifts. In some neighborhoods, we've also been able to set up hot kitchens. Yesterday, we started an effort of dispatching social workers, volunteer social workers to the shelters to increase for grief counseling. There is absolutely a need for more FEMA inspectors to be going to check on people's homes. That is a request I put in to FEMA and to the White House yesterday. So the work is going on, but clearly the need is outpacing the work, and we have to find ways to get more out there. And also we have to find ways to get the places that don't have power, either the power back on or a clear sense of how long that's going to take, so then we can make the hard decision of what to do in the interim.
New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. The mayor gave the shocking figure of 30 to 40,000 people needing long-term replacement housing in the city, most but not all being public housing residents. Why? What does long-term mean? Does that just mean until the power comes back?
No. No. Look, the reality of this storm is it was so violent that there are buildings that the foundation is shook, right, that we can't put people back into.
Yep.
There's buildings where maybe the foundation's okay, but the boiler floated off of its attachments through the water, the oil spilled. That has to be dealt with. There's private homes that are literally, Brian, gone. Just gone. Totally gone, right?
Right.
So exactly how long each building is going to need, we don't know. But, and this I don't mean to say as to be demoralizing, but I do think it's better to be real about what the situation is. There could be people in transitional housing for months and months, if not in some cases a year.
Where will 20 to 40,000 people go?
Well, and I want to put that in a further context. Remember, we're not alone in this because there are people exactly in the same situation in Nassau County, right? So there's a regional number here. I hope ours is 20, not 40. Where it ends up between 20 and 40 really is going to depend on are there housing authority buildings that were destabilized, right? And we don't know the full answer yet because people are doing all they can to try to get the answer to be no. Now, part of the problem here is some of the houses, we got to pump out the water, we got to get the water out, we got to get the water out before we can go in and see what the situation is. People may say, well, why does it take so long to pump the water out? In some cases, we're pumping the water out and it's seeping back up through cracks in the foundations of the buildings, right? So that's what's going to tell us between 20 and 30. We're working very closely with HUD. I was on a call with the HUD secretary last night, emailing with him again this morning. We're going to have to, as to quote Chris Christie, throw the playbook out and figure out something very different here. We'll obviously utilize vacant apartments. We'll obviously utilize hotel units, but that's not going to get us to between 20 and 40. We're going to potentially have to bring in trailers, other things that are very different, things we've never seen before in New York City.
I heard that in New York and on Long Island, we may be looking at post-Katrina-style FEMA trailers, you think?
That is within the realm of possibilities. That is absolutely within the realm of possibilities.
It probably is good that the HUD secretary...
Can you say that again? I'm losing a little bit. I'm on my way to Brooklyn.
Okay, and we may have to go. But it's good for New York City that the HUD secretary is a former New York City housing commissioner under Mayor Bloomberg, right?
It's very good, because when I was talking to him yesterday, and he, you know, we knew everyone we were talking about by first name, and, you know, he was telling me some of our best housing inspectors we sent down to Katrina, so that's another wealth of knowledge we're going to be able to draw on.
What do you need most, and then I'm going to let you go, what do you need most from those New Yorkers not affected? There are so many who are willing to volunteer and donate, as you were documenting.
If folks can make financial donations, I would urge them to make it through the mayor's fund. Those donations stay in the five boroughs. So if you're a five-borough resident and you want to make sure your $100 gets a blanket for somebody in Rockaway, do that to the mayor's fund. That's critical. If you want to volunteer, either go to the city council's website or the citywide the NYCService.org, NYCService.org, or go to the City Council's website. We have a Sandy release link on there, and we can dispatch you to different parts throughout the city.
New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Thank you, Brian. Bye-bye.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC will continue in a minute.